Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
The holiday of Passover is currently being celebrated by Jewish people around the world, and most of us can rattle off the headline of all of that, that it's about remembrance of their exodus from Egypt. But what if we need to think again about what we think we know about Passover, and what if beyond the headline there's actually a radical message in Passover that's more vital now than ever before? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
We began on Monday of this week. We had a great conversation with Rabbi Brad Hirschfeld from New York about some of the things that are underneath the headlines of Passover. We want to continue that conversation with just a brilliant piece in the New York Times that is actually titled Passover's Radical Message is More Vital Than Ever. And Shai Held from the Hayder Institute as the president and dean, which he co-founded. He's also the author of Judaism is About Love. And looking forward to this conversation. And Shai, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with this radical message. Most people understand the core message of or the baseline message, I would say, in terms of Passover and history. But help us get beyond that.
Well, one of the most interesting aspects, I think, of the Exodus in the Hebrew Bible is the idea that it has a radical, ethical, political message. And that is that because we were strangers in the land of Egypt, we were vulnerable outsiders, we take upon ourselves a kind of special sensitivity to those who are vulnerable in the societies we find ourselves in. That's called loving the stranger. And I think it's actually quite radical because it's possible to say, you know, we were oppressed, no one helped us, so we don't owe anybody anything. But instead, the Bible encourages the Jewish people and all of its readers to say, we were oppressed, no one helped us, therefore we will never turn our back on those who are oppressed.
I love that. There's so many lessons just in that piece alone in terms of, one, the earned empathy, of course, but then also that ability to talk with authenticity about the stranger, about those that we disagree with, about those that maybe have a different way of thinking, believing, praying, worshiping, or living. And so how do we start to apply that? How do we start to look at that, especially in the context of some of the bigger challenges we have in the world today?
Well, you know, the first meaning of stranger in the Bible, which, you know, in older translations, the Hebrew word ger was translated as sojourner. The meaning of stranger, I mean, its primary meaning, we start there at least, is someone who is not part of the kin group and therefore is vulnerable to being exploited by those with much more power than they. So the first piece of this is a kind of sensitivity to people who are vulnerable and subject to abuse and exploitation. And we could have all kinds of conversations about who those people are in any given society at any given time. But there is this kind of clear thrust of those who are vulnerable are your responsibility. That is of a piece with the Bible's idea that God loves widows and orphans, right? That is the paradigmatic vulnerable people in a society become the responsibility of God's people. So, you know, in general, to your question more directly, I think there's a kind of project of insistently seeing the humanity of those we might be tempted to dehumanize.
Yeah, that fellow. I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say that seeing that fellow traveler, that fellow sojourner, or those who may be apart but should be treated as if they are within. I think it is such an important part of that. And there was one piece that you had in your piece in the New York Times that talks about suffering in particular, and that on one hand it can teach us that love, that earned empathy, but we also have to be careful because if we're not careful, then we tend to be led towards apathy and even indifference. Just unpack that for us.
Yeah, I would say apathy, indifference, and sometimes even cruelty. You know, I'll give you an example of this. When I was starting out as a rabbi in the late 90s, I was living in Boston, and it was right when the Archdiocese, the Catholic Archdiocese of Boston, was unraveling because of all of the sexual abuse scandals. And the thing that I was most struck by as a rabbi, just kind of following these stories, is how many of the victimizers had been victims themselves as kids, right? How many people who had become grotesque abusers had themselves been abused? And so that really brought home for me the reality that this takes a lot of work. Letting your suffering teach you love as opposed to hate or even just entitlement takes work. You have to know the ways that you've been wounded and the ways that you've been hurt. And you have to work on really cultivating love and empathy. And it's that revolution in empathy that I'm trying to call for.
Yeah, and that is radical. And I love that. And I also love that you point out that this kind of work, to live up to that kind of radical idea, is both individual and communal. Help us understand that.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because the Bible seems to be speaking both to individuals. Sometimes when it articulates this mandate, it articulates it in the singular, right? You must love the stranger, you singular. And then sometimes it articulates in the plural. You the group, must love the stranger. So I find that really kind of suggestive, because it suggests that on the one hand, this is a big societal question. How do we build a society that welcomes the outsider? But it's also a deeply personal question, a kind of a place where spirituality and ethics meet. How do I, as an individual, respond to seeing people who are vulnerable in my world? How awake am I to their suffering? How responsive am I to their needs? I think that's really, really fundamental.
Yeah, no question. And finally, we always like to get to the therefore what question. As people read your piece in the New York Times, as they think about and hear different things about Passover or experience Passover during this week, what is it that you hope we think different, or what do you hope we do different as a result?
Well, you know, I would say two things on very different levels. One is that we work on the kind of practice of noticing people who tend to be invisible to us, whether it's the person at our synagogue or church that no one says hello to, whether it's, you know, the homeless person who we treat as if they're not there, right? To simply start seeing, insisting on seeing those whom society renders invisible. And then I would say on a much larger scale, you know, so many of the world's most painful conflicts, including the one in Palestine and Israel, ultimately, if we're ever going to find our way out of those conflicts, it's going to be through people being willing to show the courage to hear one another's stories and see one another's pain. So although it seems so far away so much of the time, empathy really is obviously, I think, core to any future answers and solutions.
Such important stuff. It is the radical empathy of Passover. And I just want to reinforce what we have just heard, that it is the courage to hear one another's stories, to feel where they are coming from, is the beginning of change and transformation individually and as a society, and recognizing that when we link arms, we move this forward together in a very, very different way. Rabbi Shai Held, president and dean of the Hayter Institute, which he co-founded, also the author of Judaism is About Love. And thank you so much for making time for us during this Passover week. You've given us a lot to think about and a lot to do about to make things just a little bit better. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, it's Rabbi Shai Held, president and dean of the Hayter Institute. And I had not thought about empathy as something radical. The radical empathy of Passover. We've learned some important things this week in terms of how we can apply things that happened thousands of years ago to some very real, very acute, very specific problems in our world today. But it does start with some radical empathy. We'll be right back.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.